Good morning. We looked at one thing yesterday, that the Christian has a new identity. Christianity begins with a new identity in Christ. And if someone were to ask you, what is Christianity? I think we can sum up Christianity in one word. Christianity is a person. Person, Jesus Christ himself. And so we saw yesterday that it's identity with a person. Paul said, let's turn to the verse that we're looking at, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and then we're going to go to the Gospel of John and look at several things this morning to give another perspective of this life of grace, amazing grace. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'll start in verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, let's pray together. Father, we give thanks this morning that the cry of our heart is, be thou our vision. We pray that you would continue to help us to behold you, the invisible one, and taste and see your goodness in the person of Jesus Christ. So we yield ourselves to you today. Pray for the work of your spirit, that you would quicken your word. Speak, Lord. Thy servant listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Christianity is a person. We looked yesterday at identity with a person. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. I identify this person as my sacrifice. God so loved the world, he gave his son for me. And so there's an identity with Christ as my sacrifice. Died with him. Not only did he die, I died with him. He's my sacrifice. And then we saw that he's our substitute. I've been crucified with Christ. Christ died in my place. He's our substitute. I identify with him as my substitute. But also we see that not only did Christ, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. So Christ becomes the source of our life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christianity, I would submit to you, is a person. It's identity with a person, but then it is the indwelling of a person. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, you're not going to hear anybody says, I live in Buddha and Buddha lives in me. Or I live in Muhammad and Muhammad lived in me. Why? Because religion is a concept. People have a philosophy of life. Christianity is not a philosophy of life. Christianity is a life. It's not a religion that I join. It's a person that I receive. It's not facts that I believe. It's a person that I trust. Christianity is a person. God so loved the world, he gave his son. His son is a person. And so when I reject, or anybody rejects Christianity, you're not rejecting the Christian religion. You're rejecting Christ, a person. You're rejecting God himself. Because he's a person that has revealed to us all that we didn't know of God. All that it takes to come to know God is in this person. In him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christianity, I submit to you, is a person. A person that you come to know. A person you come to trust. A person you come, as you heard last night, the source of life. That this person now lives in me and through me by the Spirit of God. And so it's a person. And so this morning I want to see, we're going to go through the Gospel of John. If you have let's turn to the Gospel of John. And John is going to, I would call him the seven I ams of Jesus. Jesus was on the earth and he gave, if you turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 35. And Paul said, I live not I, but Christ lives in me. this Christian life is Christ in a person. It's a wonderful thing to realize that it's not how what you do that make you live as a Christian. It's what you allow Christ to do in you, and you're willing to trust him with the details of your life. It's the person that you're trusting. We've heard Mr. Johnson is teaching about worship. You worship a person. We're hearing about the scripture. Well, the word of God will bring you to the God of the word. You can't get away from this intimate relationship with God through his son. And so Paul, and in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says here, he says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. I'm the bread of life. You want to live spiritually. You want to experience life. I'm the bread of life. We played football, and you go to the training table, we go in the morning, there's a training table, there's a whole bunch of food, because, and the big linemen eat almost everything, and we wide receivers, after we finish football, we eat everything, but when we're playing, we don't eat a whole bunch, why? Because we want to get away from the big people. But you eat this food, and they have all this food, why? Because they want you nourished so that you can be strong and quick and fast to win. To have spiritual nourishment, you have to feed on Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. As you read his word, pray, he begins to become spiritual strength. I'm the bread of life. And so the wonderful thing about us, that this man, as you read the word, as you were spending time this morning, I'm sure, in your word, you're eating him, but what you're learning, that he is the bread of life. He satisfies your soul. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Now, this believing on Jesus, not just believing what he says, it's believing him who said the what. It's trusting a person. I am the bread of life. Then there's another thing Jesus said about himself. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Look at chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I submit to you, people who walk in darkness. What I mean by walk in darkness, people who walk willfully, disobeying what the Bible says, are walking in darkness. Why? Because they don't see how to live. And the only way you can see how to live is to find the one who is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. If the pattern of your life is consistent, you say, well, I can walk in light here because I'm around other Christians and I'm around other people, and that's what they walk in the light. But you go back home to your school and you walk in darkness. I tell you, you have not found the light of the world. Because he that followed me shall not walk in darkness, shall not have a pattern that they find satisfaction in living in that which is opposed to God's word, opposed to God's ways. Why? He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness. Why? Because they're going to have the light of life. They're going to see how to live life. Why? Because he is the light of the world. And so you begin to see the world in a different perspective. You think differently from your friends who are not Christian. You think differently from your family members who are not Christian. You're going to think differently from the world. Your relationships are going to be different. Why? Because you're going to see things from God's perspective. Why? Because he's opened the eyes of the blind. There's a song that, Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. I see God's goodness in Christ. I see God's love. I see God's forgiveness. I see God have made peace for me. I see God as my father. I see how God would have me to live. You won't walk in darkness. You have the light of life. And then Jesus says in verse, turn with me to verse, chapter 10, verse 9. Chapter 10, verse 9. Not only he's the light of the world, he says this of himself. verse 9 of chapter 10. I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the door. I'm the door of the sheep. By me, enter in, you get life. A door. Now, I've used this before, but if just pretend we had, you see me coming here one morning and I'm cutting a hole in the window and coming in here. They would say, Mr. Francis, please, please. There is a door over there. Don't come through the window. It's a door. There's no other way you can come to know God other than the door that God has provided. It's Jesus Christ. I'm the door. Those who enter in by me will have life. He's a door. He is the door of life. I am the door. If any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. You'll be saved. There's no other, there's salvation in none other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. Christianity is a life, but it's a life that comes a certain way. You enter into fellowship with this one who is the door. It's a wonderful thing to know that you don't have to figure it out. You just have to enter in and he'll teach you. I'm the door. Enter in and you'll find life in there. And then he says another thing about himself. Turn with me, if you will. Look at verse 10, John 10, 10. He says, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. All other religions, you have to make sacrifice or you do something to appease the God. Jesus Christ said he came and he laid down his life for the sheep. He's not asking the sheep to die to get life. He died that the sheep might have life. And then he asked you and I to give up our zombie life. You know what a zombie is, huh? A walking dead. He asked us to give up our dead life and receive his resurrection life. It's a wonderful thing that he offers himself as life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The wonderful thing about this relationship, I used to ask my children, how do you know God loved you? And before they can answer, I tell them, God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died. The question is, how do you know that you love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandment. See, the question is not, does God love man? The question is not, does God love sinners? The question is, does sinners love God? And John said, men love darkness rather than light. If you're not a Christian this morning, it's not because you don't understand. It's because you love darkness. And your mind is blind, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So people either, you either love God or you love sin. And sin begins with self. And so therefore, it's a love relationship. And so God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And so when we come to him, we come to one who loves us. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. And then he gives his life to the sheep. Not only for you, but he gives his life to you. That's why Galatians says, Christ lives in me. Christianity is Christ in a person, the person of Christ in a person, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't it wonderful that it's all about a relationship? It's cultivating a relationship. Please don't allow yourself or allow others to make you think about, it's what I believe. Yeah, it is what you believe, if it brings you to the whom you believe. It's not arguing about what God says. It's coming to rest in the God who said the what. And then it becomes simple. You have to rest this person. You will not be able to intellectually argue people into the kingdom. I was told that a lion, you don't have to protect the lion. If somebody's trying to bother the lion, don't try to protect the lion. Just let him go. And he'll take care of himself. Don't try to protect God's word. Just let it go. What I mean by let it go. Don't try to convince your friends that Jesus is who he said he is. Just tell them who he said he is, and the Spirit of God will convince them. Why? Because his word has power, and the Spirit of God takes the word. And that's why we said earlier part this week that God is speaking at various times to us individually. And so you should ask, I'm sure you're asking him today, Lord, speak to me. Because he loves to speak to his children. He's a good shepherd. And he loves to lead you in the path of righteousness for his namesake. He desires you to know the path of righteousness. Why? For his namesake. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Turn to, if you will, to chapter 11 of John. Here's Jesus at a very difficult time in the life of some people that he loved. Lazarus is dead. And when he got the word, he waited a while, and then he went to Martha and Mary and went to Lazarus' grave. And Martha saw him and says, Lord, Jesus said, your brother going to rise again. He said, well, I know he's going to rise again on last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. Look what he says in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Paul says, Christ lives in me. Not only did Jesus Christ die, but this one who died rose again. And this one who rose again come to live in you and I by the Spirit. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I am the resurrection life. I remember about 6 years ago, my mother died, and I was didn't know if I was able to preach her funeral, and prayed and found grace. By the time I got to Louisiana, had grace, and the preacher funeral. And I said, as I was used the passage of scripture, precious in the sight of the Lord is death of his saints. And I said, and God gave me grace to say this, she lived to go home. Why is it precious? Because to be dead in Christ or to die in Christ is to live with Christ. And so Jesus is the resurrection life. People who are dead in sin come alive, but a person who die as a Christian would never die. Why? Because they have the resurrection life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What's the joy of a Christian? The joy of a Christian, if another Christian goes home, they know that this person has gone home. Why? Because it's precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. One who belongs to his son is precious. Why? Because the value of that life will be fulfilled because they're going to be with the one who loved them. The Christian can face difficulties. Why? Because the God who created them and loved them will keep them and comfort them in all circumstances. He said, and you need to remember this, he said, cast all your cares upon me. Why? Because I care for you. You know, it's a wonderful thing to understand that in a world where insecurity is abounding, discouragement is all over the place, that there's a God who cares for you. I am the resurrection and life. If a person die, yet shall he live. So the Christian don't have to fear death. Why? Because they have died already in Christ. And death has no dominion over them. And death has no sting to them. Why? Because they've tasted the one who is life. Christianity is a life. A life that's been raised from the dead. And that life lives in you. There's another thing Jesus said about himself. Not only is he the resurrection and the life. Turn with me to chapter 14. Jesus is speaking again, and here's Thomas doubting. One of the disciples in verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I'm the way. And then I am the truth. And I'm the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Christianity is a person. Not a direction only, but it's a person that you follow. He's the truth. Christianity is a person. It's a person who is truth. And I'm the life. It's the person who gives life. And no man come to the Father but through me. God, you and I can call God as our Father. Because we've come to the way that God have offered. We've come to the truth that have come from God. And we've come to receive the life that have come from God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is not your Father. But he's the Father of those who received his Son. And you, as you shared this morning, probably in your quiet time, our Father. Why? Because he's your Father. And the wonderful thing, as at this Christian conference where you have young believers, is that when we pray, it's not my Father, it's our Father. I came from a small family of 14. 11 boys and 3 girls. It's in the gumbo. My wife said, gumbo or no gumbo, 4 and no more. So we have 4. But in that family, my mom, and I told my mom, all of us even said now, that she had no favorites. All of us sensed that she loved us totally, completely, and not conditionally. And none of us felt that she loved one boy or another. The wonderful thing about you as a Christian, God loved you totally, completely. And you have access to him. All the time, anytime. And he loves you. Why? Because he's your Father. And it's an unconditional love. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And those who have received his Son can call God their Father. Isn't it wonderful? That God, the Creator, this sovereign one, this one who's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, is your Father. Personally, intimately, and want you to find yourself securely in the fact that you belong to him. And he's proven his love to us in that he gave his Son. And Jesus said, nobody come to the Father but by me. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have the security of the Creator of the world as your Father. This one who's all wise. And that's why you can cast all your cares upon him. Some of you who are Christians will be going back to difficult places. You may be going back to friends who now, if you became a Christian here, or if you're a Christian, you go back to places where they don't want to walk with God as their Father. And you'll experience rejection. But they won't be rejecting you because they're rejecting you because you want to please your Father. And Jesus Christ is your shepherd, and you want to follow him. But there's a song, oh, what a friend we have in what? Jesus. Christianity is a person. And rejection often comes for those who walk with this person. And so don't be afraid of rejection because you walk with the shepherd. You walk with this person who loved you and gave himself for you, and you've come to trust him with the details of your life, and rejection comes. It's a part, what we say, it's a family trait. It just come with the family. When I was on the football field, I'm just standing up. I'm not trying to do anything. I get hit anyway. Why? If you don't want to get hit, get off the field. It's a part of the game to be a Christian and to walk in obedience before your Father and to walk with the shepherd. Rejection will come. Why? Because that's just the nature of those who don't like the light. And so your relationship with a person will strengthen you to even to accept rejection. You won't like it. We don't love. No one loves rejection. But you love the Lord. And rejection, if I have to compromise obedience to him to get along with a friend, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. He's a friend. He's a person who understands, and I can cast my cares upon, and I don't have to accept the flavor of the day. There's a flavor in our country today. What's the flavor? The flavor is compromise. Compromise to get along. Compromise to be a part of the crowd. Compromise. But the Christian says compromise is not an option. Why? Because communion with Christ and living in such a way that glorifies Christ make you bold enough to say no to that which is not honoring to God. Christianity builds courageous individuals. Not courageous in themselves, but they're courageous in the one whom they follow. And so, you can say that he is like he was to them. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. I want you to be encouraged and think about it. It's a wonderful thought as you begin to meditate that the God who created the world is your Father. He's your Father. And it doesn't matter. You may have had a good father. Well, he's a million times better than a good father. And you say, I had a bad father. Well, listen, whatever you think a good father is, he is way more than that. Because he's a God who's concerned about us. That's so important today. Relationships today are, how would I say it? Relationships today are not valued. And Christians have to value this relationship with this person, Jesus Christ. And then because of this person, you'll be able to value relationships. You'll be able to love your enemies. Why? Because you were loved by one who was your enemy once when you were lost. You'll learn how to treat people who may not treat you well. You'll treat them well. Why? Because the God who's in you will enable you to do that which is pleasing to him, even for those who don't treat you rightly. Who can do that? Christians. Those who Christ indwell. And he enabled them. He strengthened them to do what he wants them to do for his glory. He's a God who will provide all your needs. Why? Because Paul says, Christ in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Christ in you will strengthen you. He's a person who lives in you. And he wants you to glorify his Father and your Father. And he will enable you, as you heard last night by the Spirit, he will enable you by his Spirit to live in such a way that will glorify God. There's a verse, when you eat or drink, whatever you do it all to the glory of God. Why? Because the God of glory will enable you to do that. It's a wonderful thing to trust this one who says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. And those who come to the Father, he'll nowise cast out. Think about it today. God as your Father. And then he says in John 15, turn with me if you will to John 15. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He says, apart from me, ye can do nothing. God is not looking for you and I to go out there and live the Christian life. He wants us to trust the Christian life who is in you, Christ in you, to live his life out through you, enabling you by his power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Christ becomes the power to live the Christian life. And so abide in me, rest in me, abide in me, and I in you. And so it's a life of learning to rest. There was a time when I was here, my second year, I believe it was, and there was a song that Mr. Carroll had me to memorize. He said, "Wallace, I want you to memorize Jesus, I am resting, resting." Because the way I was living, "Jesus, I am wrestling, wrestling." But he said, "Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou have bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou have made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art." And so rest in the joy of who he is. Learning all that he is and all that he wants to be to you and through you. I'm resting, resting in the joy. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou have bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou have made me whole. Simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I'll behold thee as thou art. And thy love so pure, so strangely satisfies my heart. There are many things people try to find satisfaction in this world. Performance, money, fame, movie stars. Nothing will satisfy your heart, young folks. Nothing will satisfy your heart but Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world will satisfy your heart. Jesus said this to a group of people. What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Your soul will only find satisfaction in the God who satisfied, who created the soul. My soul have found the resting place, not in device of creeds. You find rest in a person. So, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy. He's your vine. He is your shepherd. He's your light. I was taught here at the school, he says, three things Jesus Christ must be to you. He must be your life, your Lord, and your love. He must be your life. Christ is our life. He must be your Lord. He's the one that rules over. He's sovereign. He's my Lord. Oh, yes. But he's my love. And so you find satisfaction in love. Oh, how he loved you and me. So you find satisfaction in this love. So he's the true vine, and you find the loving comfort, the loving wisdom, the loving guidance in him as being your shepherd. You abide in the vine, and then you bear much fruit. Because apart from him, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. What do you mean by doing nothing? You cannot do anything that will glorify God, nor anything that would ultimately be for your best interest apart from him. You can do nothing. So I am the true vine. So how would I sum up this morning passage? Turn with me to Philippians 1:21. The Christian life is identity with Christ, but it's an indwelling of Christ. Here's the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21. Paul is in a very difficult circumstance in life, and then he's writing to this church of Philippi to let them know how he's getting along and what is enabling him to live in the circumstance, above the circumstance. Look what he says in verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. So if I die here in this prison, I go to glory. But here's the thing, and that's the question I want you to think about this morning. How would you end this statement? For to me, to live is... Before I was a Christian, I would say, for to me, to live is football and finance and having fun. It was my life. For to me, to live is football and making money and having fun. And that was me. To me, to live is what? That's life. How would you answer it? For to me, to live is, the Christian would say, for to me, to live is Christ. Doesn't matter what the circumstance, for me to live is Christ. Doesn't matter what the issue is, for to me to live is Christ. Christianity is Jesus Christ. Identity with Christ at the cross. Indwelling with Christ in your heart. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Well, let's pray together. Father, we do give thanks this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ, this good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And I do pray that you would strengthen each one here this morning by your Spirit, that they might experience all that you desire them to experience in knowing Christ as their life, that they might walk in the victory that is his and theirs by faith. Thank you for our time together this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.